to the Resilient Migrant Podcast, a podcast where African immigrants get to talk about their experiences as they assimilate to a different country. This is your host, Brenda Mure.
Hello, wonderful listener. Can you believe December is approaching? Well, this is my last podcast for the year. We'll be taking a break for a while, but I'll be back early next year. Well, what better way for me to end my podcast this year with one of my great inspirations? Kate Malcolm is the podcast host for the New to Canada podcast. I've been listening to her podcast for a while, and I had a chance to meet with her this summer during one of her events. She's a very jolly and friendly person. And I just wanted to know her experiences, her challenges, and why she wanted to start the podcast. Well, one thing I learned, that no matter what continent, no matter what country you come from, our experiences are similar because it's an experience of home away from home. So take a listen and blessings to you.
Hello, once again. I am here with Kate Johnson. Hi, Kate.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, great. I am so happy. Obviously, you know, I get excited every time I talk to you because you're one of my favorite podcast hosts.
Yay. That makes me so happy. Thank you.
Thank you for being a guest on this podcast. I decided, you know what? You know, I have this chance. Let me take it and interview on this podcast and get a little chat and learn about you and learn about where you come from. And before we go on, where do you come from, Kate?
Yeah, so I am originally from Hertfordshire in England. So it's the county above London. So I can hop on a train in half an hour and be in central London. So yeah, it's a really lovely, lovely place. I do miss it a lot, but yeah, that's where I'm from. So
did you go to school there?
Yeah, so my whole life has just been crazy. Are you ready? You can strap yourself in.
I'm ready.
So yeah, I was born in Hertfordshire, but then when I was 13, my parents told us that we were moving to the south of France. So actually when I was 13, I moved there and we lived in the middle of nowhere. Just picture the most rural farm kind of country life in France. And I was there for high school. So I completed my high school there and my brother stayed there with us as well. But then, yeah, I moved back to England for university. I didn't quite gel there. I didn't feel settled or happy as a teen. I think I just moved a bit too late in life. You know, 13 years old is a tough age. You've kind of experienced middle school and, you know, your friends are like kind of starting to like boys. And I was just getting FOMO and missed my life in England. So I did struggle in France and then, yeah, headed back to England and did my university in Bournemouth, which is the completely different, you know, the south coast, a different place in England. So yeah, I have my heart in so many different places.
Wow. So did you get to learn French when you were in France?
Oh yes. I mean, nobody really spoke English there. I remember being sat in the back of the classroom at 13 years old and nobody speaking English, none of the teachers, nobody. So I was just crying in the back of the room with all these French kids staring at me. So yeah, that was definitely a crazy thing to go through at that age. But yeah, I think it's just given me so many skills. Like I'm so brave and I throw myself out into different experiences, and yeah, I wouldn't change it. I think it was a really cool adventure to go through. So
you moving to Canada is a big plus because Canada is a bilingual country with English and French, so this works out good for you.
It is, yes. Well, when I moved to Canada, it was funny, I put it on my resume, right, as you would, you'd be like, you know, bilingual, English and French, fluent, and then I heard Quebecois French, the French that they speak in Quebec. And I've never deleted something faster off my resume, Brenda. I was like, delete. I am not fluent in this French. What is happening? I don't know what is going on. I don't understand anything they're saying. The accent is just so thick, right? Compared to France French. And I remember I met a French girl in my first job in Toronto and she was said the same thing, but she's native French. And she went, oh yeah, like I can sometimes I struggle to understand them. And I thought, look, I cannot have this on my resume, you know, in a corporate setting trying to be professional. No. So I would not call myself bilingual in Canada, unfortunately.
That's very funny. I've heard about Quebecois. I've gone to Quebec And I don't know French. I did French in high school too, but obviously totally different. This is like 30 years ago. So I know very basic, but I felt like it's a different language altogether. I can imagine you knowing French very well and then going there and getting like, ooh.
It's just kind of a little bit scary, I think, that if you're not perfect, you know, that stereotype of the French just being very, then they're quite unforgiving with people that aren't perfect in their language. And I just find like I get really scared if I make mistakes and stuff. They're not very, I don't know, understanding. So that's what I kind of found. But then the good thing about Quebec is that English is, you know, so prevalent over there as well, when you can get by just with English. So yeah, it is amazing having a bilingual country. And it's nice just seeing on the packaging of all the food and everything. It kind of keeps my French, you know, topped up. So
that's good. So when did you first move to Canada?
I moved in January 2017. So yeah, that's going to be, what is that? 6 years soon. Is that 6 years? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. About 5 years. Yes. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Good. So how was your experience when you first moved to Canada?
Yes. So my experience moving to Canada was different because it wasn't in my plan. I didn't choose Canada. I didn't say, oh, I'm moving to Canada and I'm going to plan it and I'm going to research and prepare for everything. I was kind of just thrown into this life, really, because I went traveling from England just thinking, oh, it's a temporary trip. I'm going to go for a year. I had my work permit already set for Australia, actually. So I was planning to travel, you know, Thailand, Vietnam, Laos, you know, Indonesia, as a lot of people do. And then I was going to head to Australia and work and live there. Obviously, during that adventure, I actually met a Canadian and we fell in love and we were traveling around together. And it just, when you're traveling and then you're in these paradise places, it just heightens everything. And you spend, you know, breakfast, lunch and dinner with someone and it just kind of accelerates your connection. And yeah, we ended up living in Australia for a bit, but then we decided we should probably get jobs and back to reality. We've run out of money and we need to stop fluttering around the world. So yeah, we had to choose England or Canada, and Canada had just never been on my radar. It was so strange. I don't know why. It's a beautiful country. I just never thought about it, really. So I was like, ooh, new adventure, new country to explore. Sure, I've met this boy. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, so I followed him, and that's why I'm in such a small town in the middle of nowhere in rural Ontario. I just kind of got dropped here and joined his life and his friends and his family. But yeah, that was years and years ago now. I'm married, and yeah.
Congratulations. You just had your wedding. Was it this year? Or
Yeah, in July. I carted all the Canadians back to England. So that was interesting. It was good to show off where I was from, right? You know, you talk about it all the time, but now, you know, my family and friends here, they saw it in person. So it meant a lot to me, actually. It was great.
So tell us, now that you're talking about England, tell us something about England that I know you miss a lot. Home is always going to be home. Mm-hmm. As a visitor, tell me something I need to go visit, what you loved. I just want to know something about England from you, Kate.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, England is magical. I really try and explain to people the stereotype of England that it's just grey and rain. You know, it's not true. It's so beautiful. The history is around you at every corner. And I don't think I even appreciated it when I lived there. It's when you leave and you live in a country like Canada where everything is relatively new. I really miss like the cobbled streets and the buildings that are hundreds and hundreds of years old. And you can go to these sites like Stonehenge that are thousands of years old. And it just boggles the mind, the history that you can just see around you everywhere. It's amazing. So you could really go anywhere in England and get that magic of the history and the stories of everyone that's walked that street. But yeah, I think my favorite time of year is Christmas. Because I'm heading there next month and I'm really excited in December. And yeah, it's just amazing. Like London is just lit up. Every street has a different theme. There's angels lit up in one street. There's holly lit up in another street. There's, you know, it's amazing at Christmas. They really go all out. Wow. And yeah, the markets, Christmas markets with all the food and the things that they sell. It's really amazing. So
I would really like to come and visit, England. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to learn.
The best place in England is Bath. Absolutely beautiful. So I always recommend everyone to go to Bath. It's kind of a stone city, so old. You can see the first spa. Like, they had a kind of a big hot pool that they used to, you know, swim around in hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Yeah, really cool city.
Wow, wow, wow. So you were talking about England, and I was thinking how different it might be. I've had good things about the transportation system there.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? And I don't want you to compare oranges and apples here. I'm just trying to think, what do you think about the transportation between England and here in Canada? Yeah.
That's a really good question, because it is so, so much better in England. I never drove in England. I had my driving license. I took the test, you know, when you turn 17 and you're really excited. So I got it, but I never owned a car, never drove a car, because you just don't need to, because it's such a small island, right? Like, I get it. I get this. It's a lot less, you know, infrastructure needed, but yeah, even like a tiny village in England will have a train station, and you can go to the train station and it's linked absolutely everywhere. You go to London and then you can literally branch out, go to Paris, you can go everywhere. So I really do miss that, the ease of getting around. And because it's such a small space, you can really travel far and experience new things very quickly. Whereas, you know, here, oh my gosh, in Ontario, you can get in a car, drive for like 4 hours, and you're still just on the same highway. You're like, Jesus, is there anything else that's going to come? You know, it's so big and so spread out. Yeah, so I did struggle with that. I had to get a car because there's just no way of getting around, especially where I am. Obviously, it's better in Toronto and cities and stuff, but as far as like the country as a whole, it's harder to feel connected and get around. So,
and you live in a small town here in Canada, so. Totally different lifestyle.
It is, yeah. There are buses and things like that. It just takes so much more time. And if you're lucky enough to be able to afford a car, it's definitely much, much easier, and yeah, less time and yeah, all of that stuff. But then you have to deal with the winter driving and, you know, all the different rules of the road. And I'm driving on the different side of the road compared to England, so differences for sure.
And are you ready for the winter?
I know, it's snowing right now. I'm looking out my window, and yeah, you just forget, don't you, every year. You know, you've been here 5 winters, and every single time it comes around, you're like, oh God, I forgot. I just completely forgot how cold it is, how annoying it is having to scrape the snow off your car whenever you want to go anywhere. Oh my gosh, but we have to do it.
Yeah, we have to do it. You really never get used to all these things.
No.
So, Kate, I just want us to go back to something. I know you mentioned about work permit. And one of the things, like, I like talking about on this podcast, and I try, is about different immigration systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I touched base with you about this. You come from Europe, totally different continent, totally different policies. Do you mind sharing about how you got into Canada and what that process was for you? Because for me, as I'm originally from Kenya, I needed to get either a visa or a permanent residency. Getting into Canada, it's just not an easy transition. How about yours?
Yeah, I can only imagine. You know, I speak to so many immigrants on my own podcast, and the stories of the pathways, there's just so many and so many options, and it can get a real headache. So yeah, I am so lucky. I always say that how privileged I am that I come from a country that has the International Experience Canada work permit. So you'll see it shortened as IEC, and it's a very short list of countries that this agreement is in place between that country and Canada, where you're eligible for a 2-year work permit and sometimes 3 years. And it's really easy. I'm sorry to say it was so easy. I was in Australia at the time, you know, just traveling around Australia. I'd met this Canadian and I thought, oh, I'm just going to send this application in. And yeah, I got it in a matter of months, really. It was just answering some questions and, you know, some security police checks and things like that. And yeah, it was granted. So there are some restrictions. I think it's, you know, there's different age restrictions. I believe it's 30 years old for anyone from the UK. if you're over 30, you can't get it for some reason. So it's more just like to travel and work and experience Canada and then kind of get your foot in the door in an easy way. So very lucky that I could get that work permit. And then obviously going ahead with that, it's very easy because then you have Canadian work experience because you've lived in Canada for 2 years or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then you can use that work experience to have your permanent residency application put together. So that's kind of how I ended up here. So I'm still on PR. I need to get my citizenship application in. I keep putting it off. Oh, it's the easiest one. Like, I feel like all the work's actually been done. It's the hardest part's over, that PR, right? So mm-hmm. I just need to find the time and get that in because that's the final step. And then you get your passport and
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. It's always good to talk about these things because it creates a lot of awareness. And I remember the first time I learned about the program you're talking about is when I spoke to you. I'm just curious. And this is where the similarities and the differences of immigrating comes in. I'm curious, you being from an English speaking country, are you going to do your English test or for your PR or for your citizenship? I know I had to do one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I had to do it as well. So they definitely keep it fair. So they'll give them that, you know, it was hilarious, really. Like I'm from England and the language is English. So you think, you know, this is the origin of the language you're asking me to test. But then, you know, at the same time, there are so many nationalities that are English. They have a British passport and they maybe don't speak English. It's a very multicultural country, very similar to Canada. So I do understand why they check. And I had to go and do that test, the testing center for my CELPIP. Mm. I have a degree in English as well that I got from an English university and it's in English. But still, that, you know, I had to go and do CELPIP the same as everyone else. And that was really, really interesting. So yeah, I had to do all of that as well.
And I think, like you said, it's very important for the process to be streamlined for everyone. They gotta do what they gotta do.
Yeah, exactly. And it's nice, you know, you're coming to Canada. I think a level of English and or French, it should be a necessity because you want to integrate into the culture that you're joining. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you can move to Canada and stick with people from your home country and, you know, isolate yourself that way. But I think, you know, it's such a shame when that does happen because, you know, the Canadian culture is so rich and there's so much to do. And, you know, you should be coming here and speaking their language and trying to, you know, experience everything the country has to offer. So you're just limiting your experience if you don't. So
that's true. That's true. So what was your major culture shock when you moved to Canada? Any major culture shock?
Well, other than the winter, oh my gosh, we already spoke about it. But yeah, that's obviously the biggest mm-hmm. shock for a lot of newcomers. Mm-hmm. You know, in England, we get, you know, -5 for maybe a week, right? Mm-hmm. That's like the coldest you get. And then there's mm-hmm. maybe some snow on the ground, but then it melts. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd never experienced snow where you kind of sink to your knees and like, or this wind chill that they talk about, it's like -30 and hits you in the face and your ears are burning. So yeah, that was definitely a shock, I think, for me, the biggest one. And then I think it was just all the emotions involved. Mm-hmm. I think coming from, you know, England, we are a predominantly white country. We follow the same music and the food and the culture and everything's, you know, very similar on paper. So I thought, you know, oh, I speak the same language. I'm going to fit in. It's going to be fine. And I did struggle. I had a lot of, you know, homesickness and all the emotion. I say it's an emotional roller coaster that you go through when you when you move to a new country, and it's true. I didn't expect it. It kind of just hit me like a train, really. I didn't mm-hmm. expect to struggle as much as I did. It took me 2 years at least to find my feet and to feel settled. So yeah.
Well, and I'm very curious because as a mental health professional, I like asking these questions. Like you talked about the emotional roller coasters. Yeah. When you move into a different country, there's a lot of stress, truth mm-hmm. be told. So how did you cope and continue to cope with some of those stresses of being home away from home?
Yes, that's it, right? The home thing. I think most of it for me was all my mindset. And it can sound so like flouncy wouncy, like, oh, you know, adjust your mindset, so easy to say. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it took me at least 2 years to figure all of this out. You know, we can sabotage our own progress so easily because we're constantly comparing, you know, oh, in England this wouldn't happen this way, and oh, it's so much better in England because XYZ. That's not going to help your progress at all. You know, you're hindering that whole thing. So I would do that all the time. So I tried to stop doing that and just try and embrace all the differences. It can be really frustrating sometimes when things are different and, you know, frustrating you if they're slow, for example, but yeah, just trying to embrace the differences. It's never going to be the same as home. It never is. So you've just got to, you know, brush it off and start, you know, embracing the differences. And then, yeah, like the homesickness thing, I think the biggest thing for me was that I would go home and I would feel so sad that I'd lost my home and I would lost England. And looking back, I'm like, why have you lost anything? You now have two homes. That's it. That's it. It's so simple. But it was weird. It took me so long to understand that you can have two homes. You can have two places in your heart that, you know, bring you joy and you feel a familiarity in and, you know, you're comfortable in and you're not betraying anyone or losing anything. So I think once I realized that, you know, I can go back home and love everything there. And then I can come back to Canada and think, oh, I missed Canada and I love Canada. So yeah, it's a journey. It is a journey, but it gets better with time. You just have to have patience, right? Like it takes so much longer than we expect.
Yeah, it does. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of learning and learning and learning at the same time, getting to reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
But you have to, like you said, a very important one, the mindset shift. That's big. That's big. Cause once you change that, you're able to feel comfortable, able to embrace a lot of things that are around you. So Kate, when you're talking about everything about your home country, about Canada, both countries are home.
Yeah.
And I like asking a very challenging question to most immigrants that most of us, I know personally, I struggle with this question. When you think about retirement, do you think about England? Do you think about Canada?
Wow. I think it's still blurry, but it's not what you think. I definitely don't think England, which is interesting, just because it is crowded and the nature that Canada offers for families and for retirement, you know, you can go and be on a lake and just enjoy the nature and the space that Canada has to offer and the seasons. They have real hot summers. Well, for me anyway, the English girl, hot for me. And yeah, I think there's so much more to offer for like later on in life and for family life than England. But then my husband and I always talk about going somewhere hot, like hot all year round. So I don't know. I think maybe we could end up in Dominican or we could end up in Costa Rica or somewhere like that and just, you know, live our days on the beach. So I do see that potential as well.
And that's the thing about being an immigrant. After a while, you're able to adjust to any place. See? So if you go to Costa Rica, Dominican, you'll just embrace and accustom to life there.
Absolutely. And you can find your community anywhere, which I think is such an important skill. It takes a lot of skill. And, you know, you think, oh, I've not got any friends and all of that. But you haven't learned, you know, you need to get used to it and to get yourself out there. And it takes time. But I think, once we've got used to doing that, you can find your people anywhere. And I feel confident enough now. I've lived in France. I've lived in Australia. I've lived in Canada. I think I could go anywhere and put myself out there to find my people. And I think it'd be good.
Great. So now before we end our podcast, I want to talk about your podcast because that's how I came to learn about you.
Yeah.
So talk about your podcast, Kate, the New to Canada podcast, a podcast that I love.
Oh, thank you. Yes, you were just on it as well. So I'm super excited to release your episode. We had such an amazing conversation. But yeah, the New to Canada podcast is that it's interviewing everybody that is new or people that have lived here several years and they have lessons to share. It's really anyone that started over in Canada. So I, you know, ask them all about the country where they're from. I'm trying to collect all the countries. There's big flags on every episode. I think I'm in the 40s now, 40 something countries. Amazing to learn about all these different places around the world and their childhoods. And then, yeah, what brought them to Canada, their story. It's just so interesting learning, you know, what took them across the world and how they found that experience, because everyone's story is so unique. But at the same time, we all go through such similar challenges. It's wild. Like, I've spoken to 60 people. There's 60 episodes now. And everyone's challenges are always so similar. So it's just nice to hear your own struggles and someone else's story, and you can relate to them and you can hear, you know, your challenges and feel a bit understood and learn so much from each other. We have so much to share that we've learned throughout the journey. So yeah, it's been wonderful. What an amazing passion project. I just started because of the pandemic. I thought, I miss humans and I miss conversation. So I'm going to start a podcast. And yeah, now we've got 75,000 downloads and,
wow,
and counting. So
great, great job. And what has been one of your biggest challenges as a podcaster?
Ooh, biggest challenge as a podcaster. It's a lot more work than we expect. You're nodding your head and you understand. It's a lot more work. You think, oh, we'll record a nice fun chat and then publish it. There's so much more involved and the time that it takes, and yeah, just spreading word about it because you get so passionate about it and the stories that you want to share. And so yeah, it's been great though. I've learned so much, right? Like the technology you need and the graphic design and the social media and, and all of that. It's been great.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot that goes on in podcast. I personally, when I started, I thought, oh, I'll be doing this every week. Then after a while, I'm like, whoa.
I know. You just think it's a natural conversation, but there has to be some level of editing for it to sound natural, just audio and, you know, all your awkward ums and ahs and silences. And yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. So yeah, it's been amazing though. I'm going to keep doing it.
Great job. 75,000 downloads. That's great. I'll keep listening to your podcast. I like it. I really learned a lot. Is there one podcast show that is always ingrained in your mind?
Oh, I ask people this question too, and it's such a hard question because everyone's story is so unique and has so many different things to offer. But obviously I think the episode that was the most exciting that I had a guest that was coming on my show was Tarek Hadhad. He is the man who they made a movie about his story, The Peace by Chocolate. Absolutely. So privileged to have him on my show and to tell his story, because his family basically had a chocolate factory in Syria. And then, you know, due to the war that was going on there, they lost absolutely everything. They lost family members. They ended up being refugees and literally running for their lives, ended up in a very cold middle of nowhere province in Canada and had to start over. So yeah, incredible. They started a chocolate factory here in Canada that the community helped them build. And now they sell chocolate around the world and try and help different charities through that. And they're just so inspiring. So to have him on the show and tell that story was really cool. Really cool.
Very inspiring, because I like listening to immigrant stories, and that tells you a lot that we have a lot of similarities, not differences. And that I like that. I hope I can find his chocolate somewhere here in Toronto.
Yes. And I always tell everyone, this is the perfect time of year. If you're looking for gifts, it's always amazing to gift, you know, for Christmas, if you're gifting a gift to anyone, that it's giving back in some way as well. So you're kind of giving to that person that you love, but you're also giving to a cause while doing it. And buying their chocolate is that, you know, they have so many different philanthropic, I can never say that word, philanthropic things that they're doing. They help give back to Canadian organizations as well, because they're so grateful that Canada welcomed them in and helped them set up a new life. And they're just amazing. So yeah, if you're looking for a charitable gift to give someone. And everyone loves chocolate. So
that's great. That's great. So Kate, it was nice to having you here, but before I end my show, I have some fun questions. But before I ask you my fun questions, I'd like to know where people can find you on social media, and I'll post that on my show notes.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yes. So I am found at the Newcomer Collective. So Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever you use, you can find me there. Send me a message. I absolutely love talking to newcomers from all over the world. Always looking for guests as well. So if you want to share your story on the New to Canada podcast, let me know. But yeah, that's the Newcomer Collective. And you can head to the newcomercollective.com. And that's where I have my online academy, New to Canada. So if you're looking to move to Canada, we have an online course that has a ton of videos on career and emotional roller coaster stuff, and how to set up a life with banking, phone plans, everything you need to set up a life in Canada. And then I also have my journal, which I love. I love my journal. It's, you know, something to track your adventure. We, you know, me and Brenda were just saying, you know, you go through so many things as an immigrant and you're making all these memories. And it's just a great place to, you know, track those memories and look back at them. There's 5 years of space to track your memories in this book, and you can have that forever and look back at everything you've achieved. So that's available there as well. But yeah, I hope to hear from you. I'd love to know everyone listening.
thank you. I will make sure I post that on my show notes again. So Kate, my last questions, what color school uniform did you wear in school?
Oh, I love that. And I love school uniforms. I feel really sad. I don't know. Canadian children don't get uniforms, and I love my uniforms. I was blue. I was always blue. You know, even in when I was really little, we had the little dresses with the check, like a very, you know, sky blue and white squares. And then when I went into middle school, we went into blue again, like a navy kind of suit jacket and then a blue tie. So
wow. Yeah. I also was brought up in uniforms, and I love them. I love them when school kids wear them. That's me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. It just stops all the comparison and you know, children that can't necessarily afford like the latest fashionable clothes. It's everyone's on an equal playing field. I think it's really a good idea. So
yeah.
Not that I agreed when I was a child myself. But now looking back, you're like, okay, yeah, I get it.
What's your favorite fun activity, Kate?
Oh, my fun activity. I wish I had a cool answer, you know, like these people that like I surf every weekend or, you know, all this stuff. I'm really not sporty at all. I really love reading. I'm a very introverted person, if you can believe it. I paint myself as this big extrovert on this podcasting and social media journey, but I do just love being by myself and reading and going for a nice walk. Love, you know, good food. So I'll go out with friends and have some really good food from different countries. And yeah, I don't know if that's a good answer.
No, that's good. So what's the one food? So what's the one food if I came to England that I should try?
Ooh, obviously roast dinners are my absolute favorite. You can go to a chain called Toby Carvery, and that is so cheap, and you walk in and it's just unlimited roasted vegetables and potatoes and all this stuff, and you can choose what meat you want and all the gravies. So I always go there when I go home.
Yeah, wow, that's great. Toby Gravy, you said? Toby Gravy?
Toby Carvery. Yeah.
Toby Carvery. Okay. Toby Carvery. Yeah.
Someone's going to come for me because it's just like a chain, right? But it's, you can cook your own authentic one or find a pub that does an authentic one. Mm-hmm. It's probably better, but.
Wow. And what's your favorite music?
My favorite music. Oh, I love anything that's acoustic, you know, stripped back. I love Coldplay. I've seen them a bunch of times live. They're amazing. The show that they put on with all the lights. Yeah, anything with a guitar. I love the script. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Great. Nice to know you more, Kate.
Nice to know you. I just want to keep doing it. You've been on my show. I've been on yours. We just keep doing it, rotating.
Let's keep doing this. It's a lot of work, but we're going to do it. It's good to hear and learn and listen to immigrant stories. Thank you for being one of my inspirations. That's why I got the inspiration to start this podcast. And I was really, really, I'm greatly honored that you came. And even meeting you summertime, that was a great event. Great, great event.
Yes, I'm hoping to do a Christmas one next month. Will you come? I hope so. That'll be really fun. We're going to go to Toronto and do like a Christmas quiz or something. So that'll be really fun.
Okay, great, great, great. Thank you so much, Kate. And as I like saying in Swahili, asante sana, which means thank you very much.
Asante sana. Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Well, 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 that's how I end my year. I was so glad to have Kate on this podcast. And for you, my dear listener, I want to thank you for taking the time, for giving me feedback, for listening and following this podcast. I want to wish you happy holidays. I will be taking a long break, but I will be definitely working behind the scenes for next year's content. May God bless you. And as I like saying in Swahili, Mungu akubariki. And as I always like saying, asante sana, which means thank you very much in Swahili. Blessings.